love my neighbor?
Do you love them?
Can I feel his pain and his need?
They really need you.
Welcome to Freedom to Choose from Just As I Am Ministries, a nonprofit providing hope to those caught in the devastation of addiction or who are searching for a better way to live. In this series, The Life, you'll study the life of Jesus. Who is he? What is he really like? Does he care about me? Rich and Susan Collenberg are a husband and wife team who found freedom over two decades ago from their lives of drug addiction and alcoholism. They found biblical answers and now share their experience of freedom on Freedom to Choose.
Hello, everyone. My name is Rich Collenberg.
And my name is Susan Collenberg.
And we'd like to welcome you once again to Freedom to Choose and the series The Life that we're doing. And this one is program number 23, The True Sign. And once again, if you want to catch some of our previous episodes or any of the other series that we have done, you can go on our website, www.justasiamministries.com, and all of our previous programs are there, and plus other resources, or you can give us a call, 916-645-1297, and if you want some recovery books or whatever, Susan will be happy to mail them out to you, so you can give us a call there too. So, Susan, before we get started, would you open with a word of prayer, please?
Yes. Our Heavenly Father, we just pray for your Holy Spirit right now, that it would impress our minds and our hearts and to enlighten us on the truths of your character and just how you go about making yourself known to us and to the world, and how you use us and use things and your actions. And we're thankful that we get to be a small part of your message going out. And so we pray that the people that are listening will have a blessing as well. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Susan. Today's program, I'm excited about today's program because I got some things to say about it that I'm pretty excited about. Anyway, so it's based on Matthew 15, 29 to 39, and Matthew 16, 1 through 12, and Mark chapter 7 and Mark chapter 8. And the Bible says, "And again he went out from the borders of Tyre and came through Sidon unto the Sea of Galilee, through the midst of the borders of the Decapolis." Now, the Decapolis, remember, where who was there, Susan?
That was the region where the demoniacs were healed.
Right, right.
Remember, and the people were troubled about the destruction of their pig.
Yeah.
What do you pig herd, I guess? And
yep.
They basically told Jesus to get out of their region. They didn't want to have anything to do with him. But they listened to the people that had been healed, the demoniacs, and that created a desire, seeing their lives changed and the testimony that they bore. They wanted to see more of Jesus. That was part of the reason why Jesus told the demoniacs, "No, you can't come on the boat with me. You need to go back to your own area and be a witness." And so they went to the 10 cities, and what got accomplished.
Okay, and this is the essence of the gospel right here. You got some guys that are all messed up. They're in chains. They're in the graveyard, signifying they're spiritually dead. They've broken their chains, and they're cutting themselves. They have a cutting addiction. Jesus heals them, and then he tells them to go tell everybody what I've done for you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've got a little story to tell you. I have a wife. Her name is Susan.
Hmm.
And I wrote a song about her that's going to come out on the next album. It's called Beating the Odds.
Hmm.
And what happened was she got clean and sober.
In jail.
In jail, but she got clean and sober. Something happened to her. And whatever happened to her changed me. And so these people in the 10 cities, the same thing is going on. These are these guys that are whacked out. Now they're going around and they're giving their testimony. You can't keep it unless you give it away. So Jesus has instructed them to do the very thing that's going to keep them spiritually sound, and that is to tell them what God had done for them, and people will be changed. So now the table's set. These people that ran Jesus out of town are now ready for
they
him.
They have open hearts.
Right. So the heart seat, and that's what happened when Susan got clean and sober. It somehow did something to my heart.
So I think for us as Christians today and everybody listening, the main question would be, do we pave the way for Jesus, or are we a roadblock?
Right.
For his message? You know, what kind of an impact do we have on people in a spiritual sense? Do we are we drawing people to Jesus, or are we blocking them from seeing him? Or, you know, it's kind of like the hummingbirds, right? When we get a Rufus that comes in town.
He don't want nobody else to drink.
Right. So there's one hummingbird that usually comes in. They're Rufus. They're orange. They're beautiful, but they're very, very aggressive. And they only come in a certain time of year. And not only do they drink, but they don't want anybody else to drink. So even if they're not drinking, they're chasing the birds away,
right,
so they can't have any,
right,
even though they don't want any right now.
Right. Yeah, they just don't want anybody around that feeder.
Right. And I think that's how sometimes we can, that our witness can be. It's not an inviting witness to Jesus. It's a blocking
sometimes
of the true picture of God.
Sometimes. So anyway, Jesus comes to this region again after the way has been prepared, and a crowd gathers around him, and a deaf and stammering man he was brought to Jesus, and Jesus didn't use his usual method of just simply speaking and healing him. He takes him off to the side. He puts his fingers in his ears and he touches his tongue and looking up to heaven. Now, and as he looked up to heaven, he's probably sighing or probably thinking about all the ears that would never be open to the truth and all the tongues that would never praise God. But he's healing this man, and he knows that he's going to get some results because this man's heart has been prepared.
Right. And at the word be opened, the man's speech was restored, and disregarding the command of Jesus gave to him to tell no one about it, he went and he told everybody the story about how Jesus had cured him.
Amazing. See? And so, once again, it's a ripple effect.
Right.
You know, these guys hear about the demoniacs being healed. They go to, and it's just one thing after another, and you really, it's hard to stop the gospel if people keep talking about Jesus and what they've done, what he's done for them. It's hard to stop. You know?
Right. We have seen a very good biblical series, and it's during the time that Jesus was crucified, and the prefect is asking one of the disciples, you know, where are the followers of Jesus? And what does he say?
They're everywhere.
They're everywhere.
Yeah.
Right. And that's what happens by the example of one life, and that can be what happens by the example of each individual life.
Yeah, once again, you can't keep it unless you give it away.
Right.
You know, it's just a twofold thing. So Jesus went up into a mountain after that, and the crowd followed him, bringing the sick and the lame, and they're laying him at his feet, and he healed them all. And the people, the word heathen as they were, I mean, these people weren't the quote-unquote chosen people, but they glorified the God of Israel. For 3 days, they continued to swarm around Jesus, sleeping in the night, open air, eager to hear his words. Their hearts were ready, and these were not, quote-unquote, the Jews of the day or the church people of the day. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And then at the end of those 3 days, all the food was gone, and Jesus couldn't stand the thought of sending them away hungry, so he called upon his disciples to give them food. And the disciples once again showed their lack of faith.
Yep, and I think the reason was they were biased.
Jewish.
They were
right.
Biased.
The people that were hungry weren't Jewish.
Right,
people.
And so they were biased. And so the last time when Jesus worked a miracle to feed the crowds, they'd seen how, with Jesus' blessing, that the little amount of food worked fine for the feeding of the huge crowd, but they still have these trustees. See, last time he did it, they were all Jews. And Jews, they, you know, the bloodline of Abraham at that point in time determined that they were the selected or the chosen people. But now the crowd was just Gentiles and heathen.
Right, and the Jewish prejudice was still so strong in the very hearts of the disciples. And they answered Jesus, "How can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness?" But they were obedient to Jesus, and they brought him what they had. They had 7 loaves and 2 fishes. And of course, the large number were fed, the 7 large baskets of fragments remaining, 4,000 men besides the women and children, and Jesus sent them all away with a glad and grateful heart. The heathen people of Decapolis had received him with joy.
So this is an important thing. It's just, once again, proof that God so loved the world, that there's no select
that whomsoever
group, whosoever
right.
believes. There's no he's wanting to win everyone. Just because Jesus came through the bloodline of the Jews, that's his attachment to the Jewish nation, and the Jewish nation carried the priesthood. Their job was to give the gospel to the world, but they failed in that. See, our job is not to look at someone and say yes or no. Our job is to be who we are through Jesus and let the light shine, no matter who, no matter we're God's not a respecter of persons. He's not willing that any should perish.
Right.
And see, this is what Jesus is trying to break, is that prejudice that his disciples had because of the current mindset of the day.
Right.
Remember the woman at the well. She's a remember the Samaritan. Jesus is saying the two priests blew it, but the Samaritan came by and he did what was right.
Right.
He's constantly trying to teach him that
it doesn't matter about bloodline.
Bloodline
right.
doesn't matter.
Right. It matters about character.
We're all sons and daughters of Adam, and we got to remember that there's no difference. We all have.
There's neither Jew nor Greek.
No, we're right. all the same. We're all brothers and sisters. And if we can remember that, maybe we can treat ourselves better.
And
you know?
treat other people better.
Other people better.
Right.
You know. So he takes the boat across the lake to Magdala, and now he lands in Galilee, where his power had been manifested big time earlier, and where most of his previous works had been performed. And he's teaching, but the problem is now he returns there and he's met with skepticism. From who?
From his own people.
From his own people.
Right.
See, now he's hanging around the wrong people. He comes back, he's meeting with skepticism from his own people.
Right.
You know, in the book of John, it says he came to his own and his own received him not. Basically, that in Greek, that means he came to his own family and his own family rejected him.
Right. And so that's sometimes we can be Christians and we may be rejected from our family members. And I think the most important thing is to remember that we are still examples and our character can speak a whole lot more than what our words do. Our actions are actually much more powerful. And that no matter what, just like Jesus continued to be consistent if around believers and non-believers.
Yeah.
So he was around a group of Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they were, representatives of the rich people.
Now, they didn't like each other, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, right?
Right. They were bitter enemies, actually.
Right.
And the Sadducees had courted the favor of the ruling power in order to maintain their own position and authority. So they're engaging the state, right, to keep their
political status and their right
intact.
And then the Pharisees, on the other hand, they fostered that popular hatred against the Romans, and they were hoping for such a long time to throw off the yoke of the Roman who were oppressing him. But, and here's very important, this is so timely right now, the Pharisees and the Sadducees were now united against Christ. See, like seeks life, like. And evil, wherever it exists, groups up with evil for the destruction of the good. In other words, and you see it now, people get united over a common enemy.
Mm-hmm.
They're not united in heartfelt love for one another. They're united because they have a common enemy.
Right.
And this is a trick of Satan that he's started from the beginning. He gets people to point the finger at one or a group of people and gets people united by hating that group.
Right.
It's insane how that works and how it just rips us apart by dividing us up into groups.
Right. It's kind of like the old saying, well, I'd rather not have the spotlight on me, so if I can shine it on somebody else, then it's not on me.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's exactly what happened. We inherited this
right.
from Adam.
Right.
What happened in the garden?
Right.
Where are you, Adam? Did you partake of the tree that I asked you not to? Well, nope. There's a group of
people. Adam says, not me.
Adam says there's a group of people here that are at fault, and it's not me.
Right.
The
let
woman.
Me, let,
that
me
you,
let me name.
Let
them
me name
for
him.
You.
Let me make it clear for you, God. Let me name them. You, first. The woman that you gave me. So
right.
everybody in the room is guilty except for me, see?
Right.
And that we inherited that, and we inherited that, yeah, get the spotlight off of me and onto somebody else. And then we all unite in our hatred for whoever.
And so the thing is that not that we're supposed to have hatred, but the one thing that we should really be disliking and trying to get away from is sin and from the evil one,
yeah,
right?
Selfishness, yeah.
But it's the one thing that we tend to embrace.
Yep.
It's very bizarre
yeah.
as human beings. And I think it's how twisted the world has become and the...
Well, and it's pride.
Right.
Yeah, we feel better when we're putting someone else down. It makes us feel like we're raising up.
Absolutely.
The absolute opposite's happening.
Right. And so the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to Christ, and they're asking for a sign from heaven. And they said, remember that the sun had stood still and many similar phenomena had manifest in their history. Some similar sign was demanded of Jesus, but the signs were not what the Jews needed. No mere visual evidence could help them. What they needed wasn't intellectual enlightenment, but spiritual restoration.
That's it. And that's what we're lacking today. Everyone is looking at everyone else to blame their problems on instead of looking inside. You want to change the world, start with yourself. And it's such a trap.
And that restoration is not something that you can create on your own.
Can't manufacture it.
Right.
It's an eradication of selfishness, which is only the Holy Spirit can do.
Right.
You know,
only the great physician can root out of our sinful natures.
Yeah, and it comes from an admission of us being who we are.
Right.
For me to sit inside my own skin and really think about who I am, I can get real sick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that's when I have to say, look, there's no way I can fix this machine.
Right. We have to look outside of ourselves
yeah.
to have that power that we don't attain of ourselves.
I was thinking about that today, actually, you know, because there are people that have arthritis that go in and get an infusion,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's something outside of themselves that comes in and arrests the autoimmune disease
right.
that's
causing
that's
damage,
busting their joints up irreparably.
Right.
Right. And so they need, there's no way that the body is going to in certain cases, there's no way the body
has it
within itself
right.
to fight the disease.
Or you can look at somebody who has type 1 diabetes. Their body just doesn't produce insulin or whatever it is that they need. And there's not because of their behavior.
Nope.
It's not because of their diet. It's not because it's just what's happened inside of their body.
And they need something outside themselves
in order to live.
And that's exactly the way we are with our disease or infection of fear and selfishness. And when we can come to that admission, if you will, and tell God what we're afraid of, tell God in what areas we have pride and because we're not going to bring him down to our level.
Right.
Prayer takes us up to his
right.
level.
And the thing is, you know, we've talked to people, we say, well, what do I pray? Well, it's just about being honest.
Yeah,
and sometimes it's asking God, why am I acting like this? Why do I have this fear? What's going on in my mind? And asking him to reveal and then to help you figure out, you know, and help you to change. He does the changing, but a lot of it has to do with a lot of realization as to why do I do what I do when I do it.
Yeah, or if I'm okay with myself, then and I'm doing something wrong, show me what it is.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, if I'm okay with myself, that's dangerous for me. I mean, I can sit inside my own skin, don't get me wrong, but by the same token, there is a whole lot of room for improvement.
Well,
ask my wife.
No, that I think is the actual human condition, yeah. Right? There's always room for improvement. I believe, and I could be wrong, but I believe that even when this whole mess is over and the earth is recreated new and there's no more sin because no one's going to choose to sin, we will still be learning.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because Jesus is infinity.
He's infinite.
And you can never approach. The closer you get to it, the further away it is, right?
It's some kind of dichotomy like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and
you
so...
You can approach infinity forever.
Right, and we're going to learn and we're going to... It's just going to be... We're going to learn more and more and more, but it's going to be without pride.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to be like little children learning and being surprised and absorbing and
yeah.
It's going to be a wonderful time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Where we drop back to where they were asking for a sign or a miracle, remember?
Right. And so Jesus told them, you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky by studying the sky. They couldn't foretell the weather. But now you cannot discern the signs of the times. It was Christ's own words spoken with the power of the Holy Spirit that convicted them of sin. And signs direct from heaven had also been to demonstrate the mission of Christ.
There was plenty that went on throughout.
Right, how he healed people.
How he healed people, the signs of his birth, even the Magi or whatever, the three wise men. They came, they knew, they told... You know, I mean, there was so much going on to indicate he was the Messiah.
Right, and his life came, and what he did was he showed the very character of God, which is the very thing that they rejected.
And it's baffling to me how God in human flesh cannot convince a human being that is full of pride that he's God.
Right, and it was the things that were good for people.
Yeah.
That's what I don't understand is when you have somebody who's coming to restore people that people didn't like that.
They didn't like that. Well, and for some reason that threatens people.
And so the back there in that time they wanted all these signs, even though they had so many signs to look at.
Yeah.
They still wanted more.
They still wanted more tricks.
Right.
More tricks. God doesn't do tricks
right.
at our command. He doesn't, he's not a vending machine. He doesn't do, we're not God, he is.
Right. And the Jewish leaders looked with a heartless indifference on all the human suffering, and in many cases their selfishness and oppression had caused the pain that Christ actually relieved. So his miracles to them were kind of like, it wasn't a scolding, but it was kind of like a, kind of in your face. You caused this, and I'm coming to relieve it.
I'm coming to fix it.
Right.
Yeah, and you cast these people out, and I'm coming to bring them back into the fold. And see, now he had to teach those disciples that. He had to kind of erase that mindset, that privileged mindset, if you will, so that the things that led the Jews to reject the works of Jesus was the greatest evidence of his divine character. Those things that upset them the most were what they should have been able to see that he was designed.
And divine. Rejoice in, because yeah. the greatest evidence that he came from God is that his life revealed the character of God. He did the works and spoke the words of God, and such is the greatest of all miracles.
And so that's the thing. It's our picture of God. It's what's going to change us.
Right.
And
people around us.
And people around
right.
us. Our picture of God. Is he there to heal you and make you well? Or is he got a clipboard and he's ready to nail you if you step out of line. Step out of line. How did he reveal himself? How did Jesus reveal himself? How did God himself reveal himself through Christ in those miracles, those healing miracles, on how to treat people with dignity and respect? Even a leper, he treated him with dignity and respect. Well, we're going to have to wrap it up here, folks. That was a quick program. Remember our website, www.justasiamministries.com, and you can find all these programs. This, once again, was program number 23 in the series The Life. And remember, folks, there's only two ways to live your life. One is like nothing is a miracle. The other is like everything is a miracle, and you have the freedom to choose.
Do I love my neighbor?
Do I love them?
Can I feel his pain and his need?
They really need you.
Thank you for listening to Freedom to Choose. There is truly hope for people whose lives seem to be overrun with problems, unhealthy relationships, or even imprisoned by some form of addiction. Rich and Susan Kallenberg are living testimonials that biblical principles do work. They've authored resources available to move those you love toward freedom. If you'd like to order the Addiction Recovery Workbook, 7 Steps to Freedom, or the book, Could It Be This Simple, The Way Out of Your Prison? Please call Rich and Susan at 916-645-1297 or go to justasiamministries.com. As a nonprofit, they are supported by people like you. 916-645-1297 or justasiamministries.com. Thank you for listening, and remember, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you.